this. Moan a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, will you please take me?
This is KAYT-FM, A1 Gina Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport, K223BI, 891 Rural West Monroe, K255BT, 131 Lake Charles, K261EB, and KQJO-FM.
Because I heard God in the midst of all this happening in 2020, it hit me honestly, this is not the time for excuses, but rather for adjustments. And I did enjoy the intro, I did, even though I did the intro when I talked about Chadwick Boseman and how even though playing the Black Panther and dealing with cancer inoperably, while he's hitting splits, he is definitely sick. Playing the character of James Brown, and I said, and I think it's worth saying again, he could have been seeking sympathy on social media, and to millions that would have made sense, but he rather used that 4 years of small life left to make adjustments. And I think there are those of you watching that 2020, come on, we're now near the end. And so at some point, you have to stop and say, we could lose this year to Corona. It's what it is. I mean, even now, I'm facing the choice of, do I call it for a year? Do I try to get back by November, church anniversary, 20 years of pastoring? Who would want to be in the house for their birthday? And maybe, maybe not. I got to make a decision here. Some pastors have made it. It's over for the year. See you New Year's Eve, January 1st. I mean, all these things are real, but what I love, Elder Willie, you're part of the staff, we're making adjustments, not excuses. We've had some of the best church, some of the best production, we've hired some of the best people, we've used this time, and maybe you're watching, you need to make that adjustment. To that end, we sort of lifted up 1 Corinthians 12. You have it, 2 Corinthians 12, that is, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, and we lifted up to set some quick context. When Paul says, I've been caught up in the third heaven, he says in verse 6, and I thought this was boss. He says, if anybody could brag, it's me. And he said, if I brag, it wouldn't even be true. And I told you this weekend that some bro bragging on his house, and Paul's like, player, I've been to heaven. I don't think you want to get in a who's boss contest. You talk about your house and your trip to Honolulu. I just got back from heaven. Now, you want to do this? So Paul says, I've seen so much. Watch this. I have to fight arrogance. Yeah, I have to fight arrogance. God's been so good to me, I have to fight not to say, look at me. He says, and to make sure of that, which is where we pick up in verse 8. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. I begged the Lord 3 times to take it away. He says, there was placed a thorn in my flesh. Asked God 3 times to take it. I tell you something amazing, because I said this weekend, and I need to repeat it, because I love different versions of the Bible, particularly when you're dealing with YF and young people. Of course, I love the antiquated, cold-blooded King James and NASB, the scholarly versions, because it says there was a thorn in my flesh. NLT says that. It does. You can check it. NASB, New King James Version. All right, New Revised Version, all of them, thorn in my flesh. But God's Word Version says a reoccurring problem. a reoccurring problem. And then the one that we shouted on this past Sunday, the message says, the gift of a handicap. The gift of a handicap. And I thought that was something. The gift of a handicap, and we talked about what handicap mean, and I held up the handicap sign, and it says, all singles, starting with you, soon, all three of you, as soon as a brother walks up on you, hold up your handicap sign, say, are you sure? I got some handicaps. Hold your sign up, just like you would have it in your car. Say, bro, if you get with me, you'll be blessed, but I come with some handicaps. I have some reoccurring problems. There's some things that God has not, look at me, completely taken away. There's this one place in my life that keeps me broken before him. There's this one place in my life that I have to pray about. I was just telling my son in love in the back how blessed I am. I said it this past weekend and I'll say it again. I'm serious. I'm gonna start a t-shirt line saying the most blessed man in the world. I feel that way. I'm a couple days older than most of you, and I promise you at 49 years old, you're going to love this. There's no place I want to go I haven't been. There's nobody I want to meet I haven't met. There's nothing I want that I can't go get. Well, maybe a private jet. Praise God. If you want to sow that, I know there's a rumor that I have one, but please make that rumor true. When we do fly private, we have to sort of rent stuff, but buy me one. Other than a private jet, and that private jet, my son said, it's coming. Will you get it, son? Praise God. And that private jet, honestly, is only to get to all the churches I cover. There's this apostolic anointing on my life, and what I wouldn't give to be able to shoot down to my sons and daughters' churches and bless them and bless the building and check on them and get right back to Cleveland and still make it back for our services and things of that nature. But to that end, there's nothing that I need that I don't have. You guys have been to the house. I like where I live. You know I like that cute girl, right? She is so I just love her. I say that to say, and I talked about how all these things, Elder Will, those watching are so great, but yet I have a thorn. I feel no need to talk about my thorn publicly. I don't. Because it's not, thank God, adultery or drug use, but there's some relational places in my life that I wish were more whole. I think about them sometimes. They come to my mind at night. I could be laying up looking at my children and my wife, thinking about my church, and then boom, it'll hit me. Man, I wish that was better. I wish God you would. And for whatever reason, now it's 49 years old. You ready for this? I've come to a place. You'll get here, hopefully before me, because of my testimony. I kind of realized, he probably said, I'll fix that. Now you can spin to 80, or you can fix that to 35 to 31 and say, you know what? That's just a place that's not going to be completely repaired. That's not going to be recovered. That's not going to be. This might be something that keeps me on my knees or keeps me in a humble place. And I didn't say this weekend, and not want to kick myself because scholars argue on what the thorn was. Some think he had an eye problem, this idea of an enlarged eye, some sort of incessant habit, porn addiction. I know that's an anachronistic problem. It's not born in 10th century Palestine, but I know that's an anachronistic problem. Trust me. There was porn. There's been porn in the center of our gospel. Trust me. Praise God. We don't know what to stop by God. Trust me. Praise God. Thank you. first Paul had is the one Jesus had. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Not anything is happening according to His will. He hears us. Pastor, that's your go-to scripture. It always has been. Future pastors, it always will be. I don't care who walks up to me. It is my outlooks. It's my outlooks. It's the verse. It is my outlooks. It's my outlooks. It's the verse. It's my go-to. When somebody says, Pastor, I believe. I'm touching. this, but this is why sometimes, Deontay, you know that ministry is coming in your life, that gets up and talking and teaching you. And that's where there's some business decisions I like to make because my heart is too big. And I need something because my heart to say no, absent of emotion. So I sit there to Mike, who has no problem. No, not this week. Good man, but I pay him to know when it's not. Because you're walking me past in my life. So, oh, Jesus. Pastor, I lost my car. I found you. This is excellent. I'm going to check you right now. I say that to say that sometimes the greatest, the greatest enemy of the Christian is God. That's why you have to say, not my will. God, I wish I had somebody. What's your will? Well, be honest about your anthropological attractions. Be honest about your desires. Be honest about what it is that you want in ministry. I taught you years ago, I say begin with being honest about your selfishness. Begin with being honest. I got some killing in me. I'm a college graduate. I'm an athlete. I'm an alpha phi alpha. I think Pastor and all that is coming my way. And there's a part of me that wants to win like Cody because I'm a dog. I'm a killer. I want to do it. So begin there. Is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. Say sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And I thought about this, and I'm like, my grace is sufficient for my life so much because I just want you to get this because he says sufficient. Say sufficient. It denotes the continual availability of grace. In the Greek, it denotes continual. It is in the perfect tense. I said this, which means he keeps on giving you grace. The word sufficient means the power or strength to withstand any danger. It's right there on the screen. The power or strength. Okay. Everybody understand a lot of upgrades for this. That's a good name for the devil, your nocturnal nemesis. Whenever you up all night, that's your nocturnal nemesis. But his nefarious. Whenever you up all night, that's your nocturnal nemesis. the stronger. I think I hear George playing right there. Hey, George. That's called Coach Production. Man, that's a miracle. God bless you, George. I'll be coming. Come and give God some praise wherever you may be watching from. And so I need you right now on this Wednesday to thank God for that. And so I need you. Don't just thank him for the good stuff. Thank him for the phone. Don't just thank him for the perfections of your life. Thank him for the places of hurt. Thank him for the places of brokenness. Thank you for the thorn. Because Paul said it was that thorn that helped me experience God's grace. Thanks.
now. What you want? Come on.